Howdy, Frank Show. If you're just joining us, well, perfect timing because Rick Springfield is here. Where is Rick Springfield? Get him in here.
Wait, let's see. Yes, that's him.
Sure enough.
We can verify.
Sure
that's
enough.
Him.
Ridiculously gorgeous still.
He's still got it. We were talking about you.
You look like you're painting. You don't.
Yeah. Hear that?
Oh, you still look good, Rick Springfield. I shouldn't say still. You just look good.
Oh, I know.
Thank you for coming in. I think we talked to you once before on the phone. And it was
we did, yeah.
What was that about?
It was
a holographic thing going on?
It was
on?
The coolest thing. It was
and
your
was
app,
that?
Right?
The app.
Oh,
and you would
yeah,
point,
for,
you
the,
would,
for the last record we had out, yeah.
That was genius. And you would have the app. You'd open the app, and you'd put it against the CD, and the CD
and
would,
the CD would come to life.
Rick Springfield
yeah.
would be like, hey, what's going on?
It was freaky, yeah.
It was so cool.
I forgot about it. Yeah, we did that so that you could look at ads in the papers, for touring, and you'd hold the app against it, and I'd turn into you and go, yeah. Well, we're coming to your town. And,
it was really, really cool. Yeah.
And now you have your show in Santa Monica is a Rick Springfield strip down show.
Ooh.
Completely naked.
Yep. What is that?
I do it completely naked.
Completely naked with just an acoustic guitar.
That's great. Yeah.
Is that what
the
it is?
The guitar sits at an appropriate level, so we're all good.
Intimate solo performance with music and storytelling.
Yeah, it's a storyteller show. And it's because when I wrote my autobiography, I realized I had a lot of stories and that most of them ended up as songs. So it would make a great storyteller show.
When
it's
you...
actually very funny. It's humorous and, different set list than the electric band show.
So. Yeah. When you write an autobiography, are you sitting there like, oh, man, that's a great story, but I don't need the hassle. I don't want to upset somebody and make somebody mad.
No, I like upsetting people.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, all right.
But I did get cold feet, actually, when I finished it because I was enjoying the writing process. But when I realized it was actually going to come out and people would read it, I got really nervous. And I
waiting for the phone calls.
What's that?
Waiting for the phone calls from people who are like, I can't believe you told them that.
I can't believe you said that.
All right.
Well, what were you more nervous about, when your memoir came out or when you wrote your first novel here, Magnificent Vibration? I mean, when you're nervous about what people are going to think of
it. I'm very nervous about what people will think of the novel, for sure.
I started reading it last night, and it's funny, and it's thought-provoking, and it starts out with a troubled character, Bobby, who goes to get a self-help book. How do you know all about that?
I've got a whole library at home.
Finds an 800 number inside and calls it, and it's a direct line to God. And it's really funny.
We kind of launch right into it, from the opening.
It gets you right from the beginning. And, I would have finished it last night if I didn't have to go coach Little League. But it's really, really good. I mean, as far as storytelling, this is awesome.
Great. Yeah, it's really fun to write. I'm actually halfway through the sequel, too, now.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. And because it ends at a point, it ends at a kind of a...
Don't give me any away.
No, I'm not. Okay. That's why I can't describe what the book is about, because it's an extreme story, and it goes a lot of places. Some people have kind of likened it a bit to like a Portnoy's Complaint or Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That kind of, if you can imagine those two mixed together, like a very, sexually interested space traveler.
Wow.
It really is. I was enjoying it a lot. So when you're telling the stripped down storytelling, is it stories about more like your
more like the autobiography,
more like that autobiography.
The great thing about writing a novel, a fiction, is that it's fiction, and you don't have to apologize for it.
Right,
you can say anything.
Now, when you decided that I want to write a novel, you were touring, and you just said instead of writing songs, it just kept going, and I'm going to write a novel.
Yeah, well, it's the same process, honestly. I'm Ray Bradbury, who I love as a writer, wrote a great book on how to write, and he said. Basically, he said it's a muscle. You got to keep, the more you work it. It's like anything, the more you're on radio, the better you get. The more.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
No, I wasn't referring to you guys, but I'm just saying
that's not true.
That's true. Wow.
I mean, it's a lot of years.
You blew that theory.
I want to go back to the Magnificent Vibration, though. So when you talk about this guy that has a direct line to God, he can find out things like when he is going to die.
Well, that was the dilemma. I mean, God has allowed him, and at first he doesn't, which you would go, who is this? Come on, seriously?
Right.
It goes through quite a long
time. Yeah, this is God, okay.
Uh-huh. Before something is said that he goes, oh my God,
it is you.
So, and it's, there's a phrase that God in the books. And it's not all about this guy's conversation with God. It's about a bigger story than that. It's about the world and how we're treating the world and how responsible we are as human beings. It's a lot of things, I think, but it's dark humor. It's definitely couched with a smile.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't take myself
funny.
Too seriously ever. But and I have ADD and sometimes go off the track and completely forget about what I was talking
about.
Well,
then you'll fit in just fine around here.
What was I saying? Anything? So you live out here in Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been married?
30 years.
Years.
Now, see, that's congratulations.
No,
that's awesome.
And my wife deserves all the congratulations. Not me. If you've read my autobiography, you know I've been a bit of a jerk. And the thing I was most worried about my autobiography was coming out was that it would reflect badly on her, on my wife, because she's the most amazing person.
Meaning, why would she stay with such a jerk?
Why would she stay with a guy that has occasionally been a real putz?
Mm-hmm.
And I gave it to her couple of her real close friends and said, read this and see if I've done a bad thing here. And they both said no. They have her back and said no. It reads basically like a love letter because, you know, I'm not saying I was a perfect person. It's definitely, you know, I've read some autobiographies since then, and some of them are kind of image polishing work. This is totally the
raw.
Opposite of that.
Right.
In fact, I assume I would lose fans over it. And
mm-hmm.
and most of them have really said, you know, I'm glad you talked about your depression and
people
honest.
Like honesty. You can relate to that. It's like, oh, okay, now I feel better about myself because, you know, you went through it or whatever.
Well, I still go through it. I mean, it's a life sentence, depression. But I did it because because part of my life and story wouldn't have made sense
right.
without it. And this world, any creativity I have comes from that dark side. And most guys I know who write are not happy, shiny people.
Rick Springfield hanging out with us, asked you about your marriage because, I mean, in the day when I became familiar with you, I mean, pretty much every woman on the planet would want to drop their panties and want to throw them
at you. I
think
I had sex with most of them, pretty sure.
And I'm pretty and that is where – that's my dilemma here because recently, I mean, in the news the last 2 days, you had George Clooney who's finally decided
right.
to ask a
Bachelor,
woman to marry
yeah.
to marry him, and I'm like, I'm dumbfounded because like you had everything like George Clooney, you could have anybody you wanted, and you decided to marry a woman, and you've been married for 30 years. Congratulations on that. But what made you actually want to settle down? Because I'm confused by George Clooney's finally settling down.
I didn't look at it as settling down, and I'm sure he probably doesn't either. It's really just the next step in your evolving, really. I mean,
yes.
it's a giant thing, and I never wanted to get married. I had girlfriends, and my idea of marriage was the last girl I was with before I met my wife. I'd been with her a couple of years, and she was an actress, and my acting coach one day said, "So what? You guys are probably going to get married, right?" And I kind of went, "Well, yeah, I guess." I mean, I hadn't really thought about
wow.
it.
Wow, what a Casanova!
That's how most guys say, yeah,
yeah, I know. You won me at gee, I don't know.
I guess if you want.
But when I met my wife, it was the first person I'd really want to said I could stay with this person, and that's really all it is. And she was, you know, I met her before anything really happened. I met her before Jesse's Girl was released, before I'd been on General Hospital. So she was there at the start, and she was responsible for
she
me.
Was there for the right
oh,
reasons.
Well, she was responsible for it because I remember going into the reading of General Hospital, and I'm a really nervous reader as an actor. Like, you go in cold reading.
You don't do well in auditions.
I don't do well in auditions, yeah. but once I get it, you know, so many people have said, wow, you're so much better than you were in the reading.
We were a little worried, you know? After that audition.
So she gave me this confidence that someone loved me regardless of whether I succeeded or failed. And I went into that reading going, I don't need this. You know, I'm okay. I feel okay. If I don't get this, I won't feel like the jerk that I usually feel like. And so she really was instrumental in changing that
giving
whole
that confidence.
Paradigm in me. Yeah. And she's, you know, we always knew we'd stay together. And most of my early songs are about us. And we broke up millions of times, which is great for songwriters.
But the hell is this Jesse guy? I know I've been asked 1,000 times. We were talking about it earlier. We're like, looking at all the stuff you've
with
done.
With all your credentials, it's like, what the hell?
What did Jesse
must
have
been magnificent.
Right?
She didn't choose you
off.
He's the magnificent vibration. That's Jesse. What the hell?
I ask about your wife because like I said, 30 years. I didn't know, like, it was before, you know, before
I didn't
you
know
made
that
it,
either,
that, she,
yeah.
that she'd been with you and held, and right there by your side and probably, like, supported you or pushed you in directions like, think about writing a novel. You're a great writer. Write a novel. I love that song. Keep going. Do this. Because I was asking people yesterday at the end of the show. We didn't get really deep into the topic, but it's like, what did you have to give up? The biggest thing you had to give up for a significant other. And it seems like in your relationship, you really didn't have to give up anything. You were completely supportive.
Besides other women.
Yeah.
Besides,
well,
you know, yeah.
Well, no, I had, no, it's a compromise, you know, and I really, you really struggle for the wheel. It's like you're in the same car and you're struggling for the control of the car. Really, it's for the longest time. And eventually you just say, oh, screw this. You see, you both let go and you sit back. And, you know, we got to the point where now where we start having arguments and then just stop and just start laughing.
Right, like this is so dumb.
Oh, this is argument B, right. B5, you know, okay.
Right.
So it's – but she's an amazing person. And I'm a big believer – and I always have been a big believer in what turns the corner for somebody is generally a relationship, and a meaningful relationship, either they turn the corner in a career or in a life choice or whatever. It's the phrase is the woman behind the man, but it can also mean the man behind the woman, but it's that connection.
Or the woman behind the woman, you know what I'm saying?
I'm down with that, whatever.
Or the man
actually,
behind
in my
the
book,
man. Behind the man. I mean, listen, no, whatever.
Magnificent Vibration actually hits on that topic.
Oh, I love it. Really quickly, I want to know who you like. Who does Rick Springfield like right now musically? Like, who's out there? I mean, the Billboard Music Awards are coming up. Who do you think?
I like the more. Actually, I'm more. I love songs. Mm-hmm. Like we do in my electric band show, we actually do a version of Roar, the Katy Perry song with like, you know, big heavy guitars.
Ooh, love
it. It works out great, but I love songs, and so I can, you know, I can love a One Direction song, and I can love Queens of Stone Age, and I tend to go more towards bands like Porcupine Tree or you know, Foo Fighters that I work with. And
are you pretty good at identifying songs? Like if there was a name that tune, you're like,
no, I'm terrible, dude. I'm terrible.
Really, you're terrible at that, because people are in luck. Because if you want to stick around for another break, if you can. I'd like to put you against one of our listeners to play Name That Hand Fart Tune.
Oh.
Name That what?
Hand Fart Tune. You know, when people squeeze their hands together.
I might win that.
Name That Hand Fart Tune. If you'd like to go head-to-head against Rick Springfield for some pro flowers, 1-800-955-5567. We'll come right back. Name That Hand Fart Tune with Rick Springfield. Next, we're Heidi and Frank.